Sometimes it is a blessing not to get what I want. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. Sometimes it is a blessing not to get what I want. So many times we have anxiety and anxiousness in our hearts, and we're looking at a situation and we say, oh, that's so terrible. That person should never be allowed to do that. Such a thing should never be allowed to take place. And we look at things and we make these categorical statements and say that that is an evil thing. That person should never do that. They're whipping that dog. Why are they whipping that dog? That's a terrible thing to do. They should never do that. They should never do that. They should stop whipping that dog. And the moment they stopped whipping the dog went after the little child and killed the child. Sometimes it is a blessing not to get what I want. We don't always see the whole scene. Now, that's a very tragic thing about whipping the dog and the dog killing the child. But that's how serious things are when we go about demanding our will. Not my will, but thine be done. How often have we heard that, and how often have we thought to ourselves, well, I hope that that will that is thine, is God's will, is good for me. I hope that God's will is something that I really want. Well, we can be sure that it is. But the point is, we get so categorical sometimes, and we say that our will or our choice or our observation is the true observation, whereas oftentimes it's not. We look at things and we see them and we think it's black and white. And of course, this is the ideal way for all things to be, and this is the ideal way for things to be in the ultimate of all. But even there, in the ultimate of all, there is no black and white. You see, when we look at things from the truth point of view, there's no black and white. There's no right and no wrong. There's totally only is. Things are or they are not. And it's not a matter whether they are right or whether they're wrong. They are. And this exists and this does not exist, so to speak. So we look at a house. And we look at a house and we say, what an ugly house. It has all those rooms sticking out everywhere, and it has chimneys everywhere, and it has this and that, and it's a house that, to me, is not a very attractive house. It's not a house that would charm me to live in it. And I think, gee, that's an ugly house. And then I go over to the house, and I walk from room to room, and I see this house was built quite a while ago. It was built before oil was available. It was built before gas was available, built before electricity was available. It was built in the early days of, you might say, the pioneer country here of America. And in every room they had a fireplace to keep the room warm. What a lovely thing. And if they weren't using the room, they didn't light the fireplace. But they had the fireplace in every room to warm the room. And there's a family. Their mother and father, they moved out west, and they built themselves a lovely home, never thinking they'd have children because they didn't really want children. But then, as the days proceeded, and the mother and father got closer to each other, and they found that they had a great love for one another, and they wanted children. And they thought that children will be the most lovely thing in the world to have. And so they began to have children. And as each child was born, they'd build a new room, adding it to their house. And before they knew it, they had 6 rooms added on to their house. Now the house looked kind of odd. And then there was even a 7th room added on. They thought, now what in the world was that for? Well, that was for a child that didn't live very long. That was for the last child that didn't stay at the family very long, just came for a visit and said howdy and went on its way. And so that room was turned into the study where anyone could go and do their homework or do their study work or have a private prayer time, or dad could go in and talk to one of the children, mother could go in and talk to one of the children by themselves. And it was a very special room. It was a room that was given to the family by this child that came and left. And you thought to yourself, why did that child come and leave? But how sad that it only came and stayed for a short time. Well, this blessing room was created for that child and became the blessing room for the entire family. Well, now, as we look at that house, or as I look at that house, and I see it, and I see its rambling structure, and I think its most thoughtless attitude about being built, yet every room was thought about very lovingly and very sincerely. Every room had its own fireplace. Every room had its own beautiful area for a large enough bed and a desk and a play area. It was just really divinely designed, and all of these rooms sort of popped off of the main part of the house. And it was a glorious house, a house filled with love, a house filled with joy. And as the years went on, and as different families moved in there, each family moving in there had their own families there and raised their children there. And always there was something special about that blessing room that drew the attention of everyone to recognize that that was something special. Now, sometimes it's a blessing that I do not get what I want. For if I look at that house and I say, what a strange looking house, what an odd looking house, what a thoughtless looking house, not realizing all of the love and all of the joy that went into it. Perhaps if I had lived through that experience myself, I might have done the same thing. And this is true for us many times. Perhaps if we had lived through the experience for which we wanted to get our own way now, we would have done things quite differently than we do. Sometimes it's a blessing not to get what I want. It's sometimes so inviting to sit at the meal table and to look at all the plates of food that are being eaten and think, gee, that was a good supper. And then Mom comes out with a big cake. Oh, what a glorious cake. A cake big enough for all seven of us. And each one of us look at that cake saying, wow, I could eat the whole thing. We just finished a big meal, and we think I could eat the whole thing. And sometimes it's a blessing not to get what I want, but oh, my goodness sakes. And so one of us is usually the greedy one. And Mom knows who is the greedy one. And so Mom says to the greedy child, all right, you will cut the cake. And so the greedy one cuts the cake, knowing that they have to get at least seven pieces of cake out of it. Sometimes they even make it eight. But they have to get seven pieces of cake, so everybody gets a piece of cake, and everybody gets a cake of about the same size. So the mathematician in the greedy one comes out, and they figure to see this. I'll cut first in half, then in quarters, then in and then they end up with too many pieces. But each person gets a piece, and it is delicious. And there are a couple pieces left over. Now the greedy one would like to have that. And Mother says, no, this is for a special treat. And so, just before we go to bed, Mom says, all right, now I'd like each of you to tell me what you have done today. Have you done your chores? Have you done your responsibilities? Now, Dad went to work today, and he brought home his paycheck, and he did his wonderful things. I did all the things I was supposed to do, making the meals and so forth. Now, what about you? And she'd go around each of the children, and they would fall short of the mark of doing the chores that they were supposed to do, or doing them with the right attitude of mind. And so the family circle would say, all right, who gets these two pieces of cake? Which one of you has done your job well and beautifully and perfectly. Which one of you deserves a treat before you go to bed? And all the children have to speak up in one accord. I like it, I like it, I like it. And then one of the children, the littlest child, it's always the littlest child, these days they have such wonderful wisdom. And the littlest child spoke up and said, Mommy and Daddy get it. They did everything they were supposed to do, and they didn't complain about it. They didn't make any mistakes with what they did. They did everything well. Oh, come on now, Mom and Dad don't need it. They don't want it. Hey, they're part of the family too, aren't they? And they do their job well, and they do their things that they're supposed to do. Hey, they get the cake. And so the family put beady eyes on the littlest one and said, all right. And Mom and Dad says, well, now I tell you, I wouldn't eat that cake with a happy face, with all of you being so upset with not having won the cake. So I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put that cake away. Those two pieces we'll put away. Wrap them up tight so that they'll be fresh tomorrow. And then tomorrow, each one of you is going to, again, have a chance. And each one of you has a chance now, knowing you get a piece of cake if you are successful in doing all of your chores most beautifully. And we'll have a first place, and we'll have a second place. And each of you will get a piece of cake. So, let's look at that for tomorrow. Well, tomorrow came, and the five children got together during the day, and they did everything they were supposed to do, but they got together and they said, we were very selfish. And though we wanted that cake more than anything in the world, sometimes it's a blessing not to get what I want. I think Mom and Dad should get that cake. And I think we should give it to them with a loving heart and make them feel that we really love them, that we really care about them. And so that evening after supper, when it was time to go to bed, Mom says, okay now, who's going to get that cake? Who's going to get a piece of cake? Two of you are going to get it. Two out of the five. My goodness. And all the children spoke up. Mom, Dad, we held a meeting. Oh, you held a meeting. Well, that's wonderful. What did you decide? Well, we decided that we were greedy in wanting the cake all to ourselves, and that you really did earn the cake, and you really should have the cake, and we want you to have the cake with all our heart. We want you to have it. And sometimes we realize it's a blessing not to get what I want. And so when we realize it's a blessing sometimes not to get what we want, I think we found out why. So, Mom and Dad, you get the cake. And Dad walked around and gave each one of the kids a big hug, big smooch. Mom went around the circle and gave each one a big hug and a big smooch. And Mom and Dad stood up and said, it's 8:30 at night. Now, I know that the drugstore is open and they serve ice cream, and so we're all going to get in the car and we're going to go down and we're going to have an ice cream before we go to bed. Wow, wow. And everyone jumped in the car and went down for the ice cream. It was a good reminder not to be greedy. Because when I learn not to be greedy, all sorts of wonderful things happen. Good things happen. Wonderful things happen in my life that make me feel so wonderful. Sometimes it's a blessing not to get what I want. Oh my, how true that is. Have a good day, and know that while you're having that good day, I love you, I love you, I love you.